All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16. Paul says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so we see here, folks, last week, I addressed, mainly focused in on the ministry of reconciliation, being reconciled to God. We'll probably continue that thought next week as far as the reconciliation part. But what I'd like to do is kind of back up here a little bit and look at where we started off in the verses. Like in verse 17, where he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, there's something that Paul wrote in that verse that should leap out at you, and that is a new creature. The word creature literally means creation. In other words, there's a new creature, a new creation that God has made concerning us. And I'm going to tell you that probably most of your Christians, after hearing the message that I'm going to do, would think that it was borderline blasphemous on what I am preaching on. But I assure you that what is going to be shown to you today is going to be the truth, and not just the truth, but I hope it opens your eyes to what this new creature really is. It's easy to talk about a new creature, but what is the new creature? Now, with that said, what I have to do is kind of back up and build up to the conclusion of what a new creature is and is all about. So we're going to back up a little bit and lay a little foundation work here and build up to it. With that said, turn back to John and look in John chapter 8. In these verses, there's a big context that's involved there. We're not going to read the context because it involves chapters and things of that nature. I just want statements that the Lord has made out of different passages of Scripture, kind of like connecting the dots. I hope we connect and make a picture out of all this. In verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." And so Christ is making this connection between God and himself. In other words, I came from God, that there was a connection with Jesus Christ and God, and so he's come from God himself. Look in chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 30, John 10, 30. He says, "I and my Father are one." Meaning there's no separation. One is one. They're united. He came from the Father, but they're yet one. What was the response of the Jews? Verse 31. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." They must have had a good supply. Back then, it'd be a good thing to invest in a stoning company, right? Because the Jews always had to stone somebody. So they took up stones again to stone him. Kind of a habit running there. Matter of fact, turn back to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, the Lord had a rough life, I tell you. John chapter 8, look in verse 56. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art yet not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And Jesus Christ is quoting there out of Exodus, where Moses was to go to the children of Israel, and Moses said, "Well, who do I say sent me?" He says, "Tell them, I am sent you." In other words, the word I am has an understanding in the Hebrew that it's all existing. It has to do with eternal. And it's a reference to their God. So when he told them, before Abraham was, I am, he's making the statement that it was me speaking to Moses back there. I am the I am. So what was their response? Verse 59, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. So he's declaring himself not only coming from God, not only being one with God, but the fact is that he is in fact God. And so by doing that, they took up stones to stone him. And it's easy to see this. I'm going to show you how amazing a King James Bible is. People say, well, I just don't understand the King James Bible. Well, I understand that because, first of all, you have to be saved to understand it. Because when you trust in Christ, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and the Spirit of Christ helps you understand this spiritual book. You have to have the Spirit of God to help you understand. So I see why so many people are turning from a King James Bible. It may show you that not all Christians are Christian today. Maybe they're just church attendees. Just my thoughts. I know you didn't ask for them, you got them. Mark chapter 4. Look at this. Mark chapter 4. Keep in mind the connection here. I came from my Father. He's there with them. He claims to be at one with the Father. Yet at the same time, he declared himself to be God Almighty. Look in Mark chapter 4 and look in verse 35. Mark 4, 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? Well, I can show you what manner of man he is. Turn back to Psalm and look in Psalm 89, the 89th Psalm. What manner of man is this? Well, if you had the scholars that you had at that time, and you did, if they read the Old Testament scriptures like they did, but believed them, they would have known when the Lord was there that he was the Lord. Watch, Psalm 89. It was all there, folks. Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Now, who is in this context? Who's he talking about? Somebody, talk to me. God. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Who is the him? God. So the next verse, O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, to thy faithfulness round about thee? Talking about God, right? Verse 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. They should have known right then and there. Not ask who, what manner of man is this that calms the wind and stills the sea. They should have known right there. Their father David wrote about him in the Old Testament scripture. So not only did he say, I came forth from my Father, I am the Father of one, and declare himself to be God, he fulfilled what the Scripture said God could do. Therefore, he is God, also the Son of God. Turn back to John. This book raises up and edifies Jesus Christ as the Lord of heaven and earth. And that's why the devil wants to put it down. He's tried to shut the book and get rid of it since it was completed, and he hasn't done it, and he can't do it. The Word of God has been tried, it's pure, and it'll be preserved for all generations, David wrote in a psalm. He won't get rid of it. He may harm people in believing it, but he won't get rid of the word. John 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was the Word God? Yeah. I mean, you don't just believe what it says. All right, verse 14. And the Word, which was God, y'all said yes to it, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The book connects Jesus Christ as not only being at one with the Father, but being the Father himself incarnate in the flesh. So we see that Jesus Christ is edified, built up, and equal with God Almighty. If you ever cross somebody who does not believe that Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, which they're out there, they go in pairs, they knock on your door, and they want a witness for Jehovah. Are you with me? They do not believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of Genesis 1:1. Turn to Colossians. Take them to this every time. And they will say thank you, and they'll go bother somebody else. Say, you're talking about religion. I'm talking about people that don't believe the book. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 13 because it's the who there. Who, reference to Jesus Christ, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, the Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image? Well, that's Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Jesus Christ was born from the dead, born again. Verse 16, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created, Genesis 1:1, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, reference to Christ, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So he's the creator, Jesus Christ. He's the creator. He's the one in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we see he came from the Father, he's at one with the Father, and he raises himself up by declaring himself to be the God that spoke to Moses. And of course, they got their stoning committee together and couldn't kill him with stones, so they used wood, which turned out to be a wooden cross for our glory. With all that said, you remember we started new creature, new creation. We'll go back to that now. For instance, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into... How do you get into the body, folks? By one Spirit. The Spirit baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head. We're the body. Well, folks, it's normal to have a head attached to a body. We are joined together. How? By the Spirit. I want you to understand, this is all the makeup of the new creature. This is the new creation that God created in Christ Jesus. The Spirit put us into the body of Jesus Christ. But not only that, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We were reading here earlier, but I want to emphasize a verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he, that's a reference to God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, and you can underline made if you want, the righteousness of God in him. When you put your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are baptized into his body, and being baptized into his body, you become part of him, and not only part of him. We are made the righteousness of God.
in him.
I mean, just let it soak into this gray matter for just a minute. Think about it. You're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're talking about a God whom no man has ever seen, a God that it is totally and completely impossible for him to sin, lie, or any other thing. It is an impossibility. And you are made that. It's not like a character reference. It's not like the best you could do. That is you when you put your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of that new creature that God has made us in Christ Jesus by baptizing us by the Spirit into the body. That's why we don't water baptize. You say, well, it would identify you with Jesus Christ. No, the Spirit took care of that. The Spirit took care of that. You don't get the righteousness of God getting dunked underwater. You don't get into the body by being dunked underwater. That's why Paul says there is one baptism. He wants you to understand it's God's working, not our working, that gets us into being a new creature before God Almighty. And you have to understand what the new creature is to appreciate it. To really, I mean, just absorb it so you can have a great appreciation for who you are and what God did to get you into that position. And sometimes, folks, I know the world takes our eyes off of who we are. And I mean, look, let's face it. We're all beat up by this world. Well, me and Donald are. The rest of you just sat there. Apparently, we're two loners. We're all beat up by this world.
Amen.
I mean, come on. You try to maintain a positive attitude. You try to be upbeat. But sooner or later, the God of this world is going to smack you down. The only thing that can pick you up is getting into this book and seeing what God has done for you. Amen, somebody. Come on. Wake up. Wake. Join me. Come on now. Get some spunk in you. We got a God that lives and guaranteed you, not only you living, but you living eternally with Him. I mean, we got something here, folks. We got something here. In Ephesians chapter 1, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, this stuff just, it should blow your mind. This is far beyond man's ability to almost comprehend it. It's not beyond it, but it's that far out there. You got to stretch a little mentally to grasp this and bring it on in. You won't catch big fish, you go out in deep water to catch them. You got to get out there. If you want deep things of God, you got to get out there. And the deep things of God are like in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there's a month worth of messages in that one verse, but we'll go on because there's a beautiful one right here. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When were you chosen in Him?
Before the foundation of the world.
You know what exists before the foundation of the world? Eternity. In other words, eternity is just an existence. You know what it is? It's I am. You say, how's that? Because I am in the Hebrew means to exist. To exist. It means no beginning and no end. Well, if you could just imagine an existence on this wall here, no beginning, no end, and I just drew a line like this and like this, and in that line, between those parameters there, is time. Well, eternity don't have time. Then we are outside of eternity, and there's a time frame within eternity that God is operating His will today. And what is that? That Jesus Christ went to the cross. I preached on this Wednesday night. You should have been here. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman made under the law, that He might redeem them that are under the law. So time. He sent forth His Son. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. Here we are in this time of the world. Parameter right here. The dispensation of the grace of God. God is forming the body. You remember what we read? By one Spirit, you're baptized into that body. Well, he also said in Ephesians 1 that you were chosen in him when? Before the foundation of the world. You're outside of time. Then what are you in? You're in eternity. Before you were ever born, and that doctor pat you on the behind and get you crying. And our lives continue to go that way, crying all the time. Ain't nothing changed. Come out wearing diapers, we leave out wearing diapers. Hey, there's some ironic stuff here. It's all about time, folks. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, that's eternity. Not only that, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He does what he wills, and it winds up being good pleasure. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now watch this part, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The new creature is made accepted. People walking down the aisles right now, we're a little before 12 o'clock, in churches across this country, they're caught being called down, walk down this aisle and kneeling and crying to God Almighty to tell God how sorry they are for the dirty rats they were this past week, and it don't change a thing. That doesn't garner God's attention one bit. You know what gets his attention? When you recognize that Christ died for all your sins, was buried and raised again. When you put your trust in him, he took care of the work. He made you accepted in the blood. You can't walk an aisle and make yourself accepted. You understand? They're trying to work and do everything. I got baptized today. Well, I hope you dry it off, because that won't put you into the body of Christ. It takes faith in Christ, and the Spirit of God will baptize you into the body of Christ, and then he chose you before the foundation of the world, back in eternity. Therefore, everybody that's trusted Jesus Christ has been made accepted by God Almighty. Something about this new creature, folks. Come up fair a minute. Romans chapter 3. I mean, folks, I just get excited about this stuff. I mean, it just, because this is personal. You understand? This is me I'm preaching to. This applies to me while I'm preaching to you. It applies to me. So it hits me as much on a personal level as it should you. Romans 3. Oh, forget Romans 3. The Lord just told me to turn to Romans 6. I'm listening to you. Romans 6. Y'all know this one. Y'all know this one, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, if we have time here, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for everything under the heaven. And he lists it, and if you don't believe it, go Google the Yardbirds. They sang about it back in the 60s. Time, time, time. And then they started singing Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And now I was in my youth. I had no idea that was Bible verses they were singing. I'm like, boy, this is cool, rock and roll. Turned out being Bible verses. So consequently, there's a time for everything. Once again, outside of this time is eternity. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. So what did he have to do since he was made sin for us? He had to die. That's the wages. But his death was for our sins over here, we find out. He was made sin for us. So he died for our sin, which is the original sin from Adam, but he died for all of our sins also. But the gift of God is eternal life. Well, eternity's outside this time. No wonder Paul could write in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, because that's where you find eternity, outside of the time frame. Now, the clincher, the closer, the heavy hitter is up. Base is loaded. We need four runs right here. Two strikes against him. I'm not talking about LSU and the 85 World Series. Philippians, I dare you to let this book speak to you. Like Brother Moore used to say, as it says it, where it says it. Philippians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Philippians here, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he's fixing to write is, you had this mindset. This is your mindset, which was also in Christ Jesus. Watch the next verse. Who, reference to Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know what that says? It says, you that are saved, that have trusted in Jesus Christ, you're equal with God. Oh, that's blasphemy. That's what they told Jesus Christ when he said, I am that I am. That's what they told Jesus Christ when he said, I and the Father are one. They took up stones to stone him. You go telling people today by faith in Christ you're equal with God, they got a stoning committee for you. How can you say that? I say it by the truth and verification of God's Word right here. Do you realize by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that we have, by that, we have His blood type, we have His DNA, we have His genes, G-E-N-E-S. We have His chromosomes, everything that makes up a human as to what it is. We have God's makeup in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're equal with God. Do you understand? You say, oh, well, that just builds you up with a big head. No, it doesn't. It shows the love of God that has saved a wretch like me. And to do this for me? You got to be kidding me. Someone like me can't get a big head over this. Whenever I do, don't worry. He knows how to slap you down, just to let you know. Get down, boy. Jesus, you see what he's doing down there? Lay a whacking on him. Thanks. So what are we waiting on? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? Be conformed to the image of his Son. We're down here on this earth having all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are that new creature. All of those things we read are true. But right now, we're living with a vile body. Evil, corrupt body. You know what we're waiting on? We're waiting to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not be confirmed, be conformed. We're looking to get out of this world. And when we get out, this vile body will be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body. And we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity because we are part of Him. Stan, we're part of Him. We are that new creature. And He's going to take us up, catch us up out of this world. And folks, it's going to happen so quick, we won't have the time. And I'd love to have the time to say, see you suckers. I mean, really, not being cruel. I just want to get out of here and go be with the Lord. Have my vile body change, fashion like unto His glorious body, so I can be with Him forever. That's our hope, folks. You got that hope? You get it by faith in Jesus Christ. Not doing anything but believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to do that. And there's a reason why the word on is there. The word on is there because it's like stepping on something that you believe will support you. It's not looking at something, thinking it'll support you, but you better do something to buttress it up. So give it some support. How do you do? Well, I'm going to confess my sin. Well, I'm going to repent and confess. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to turn my life around. No, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ just as you are, and God accepts you, and He makes you into a new creature, perfectly acceptable unto Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Is that in your mind this morning, or is lunch on your mind? Mark, you're going into my lunch hour. Well, that's why we assemble here, folks, to hear the beautiful, beautiful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And I hope you understand it, and I hope you convey it, because there's a lot of people out there that needs to hear it. And we got it, and it's up to us to take it out to them. So we're waiting to get out of this world, and then they can have it. They can have this world, because we're going to a home that's far above all heavens, a place that has never been described in this Bible by God. He's got it preserved for you. It's going to be an eye-opening experience, to say the least, when we get there. And we thank God because it's all through Jesus Christ our Lord that made it possible. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.